It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
The Volume.
Jenkins and Jones is presented by FanDuel Sportsbook. There's no better place to make every moment more than with FanDuel. I love betting on FanDuel Sportsbook because they've got great odds and markets for the MLB, NBA, NHL, PGA Tour, and so much more. They've got awesome new and existing user promotions. They're America's number one sportsbook. It's easy to use, safe, and secure. You get your winnings fast, and it's fun to combine multiple bets from the same game into a same-game parlay. You can discover the most popular same-game parlays each day right when you log in. If you're new, just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app to get started now. Sign up with promo code JANJ, that's J-A-N-D-J, so they know I sent you. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in select states only. Gambling problem, call 1-800-NEXT-STEP or text NEXT STEP to 53342. Welcome to Jenkins and Jones on the Volume Podcast Network. It is Friday, July 1st. The year is halfway over. I don't know how the fuck that happened.
Jesus, you said that, and I'm like, wow. Like,
are you what? Halfway through your New Year's resolutions?
Do people still do that shit? Like, you know what I mean? Has Twitter shit on it enough that people are like, all right, this is
New Year, new me.
Oh, really? I do goal setting and visioning every year. I do. As always, Jenkins and Jones, hosted by my good friends, the Jethro Jenkins, a.k.a. John.
What's that, Bubbas?
Dragonfly Jones, a.k.a. Tyler.
Hey, everybody. Have a good.
I'm Guardy B, a.k.a. Mike, and we have got so much to talk about today. Malik Monk, Patty Mills, Richard Rubio. It's free agency mania.
Hey, no. Patty Mills, though, we want them. Yeah, we need shooters. I'll take a Patty Mills.
It's too late.
Sure,
it's too late.
Where'd he go? Where'd he sign?
Well, I did my joke fucking intro about the three signings no one would care about. And
I care about
don't
Patty
even remember.
Mills.
Hold on. Let me. Bro. I know Malik Monk left the Lakers for the fucking Kings, which congrats on getting the money. He's going back to the Nets on a 2-year.
Okay.
2 years, 14
going back
mil.
To the projects. Enjoy that.
You in the hood,
so, LA.
Let's start there. We've got an interview coming up later in the show with Matt Sullivan, who is a recurring guest on the show. We love having on. Kind of got to become an expert on the Brooklyn Nets dysfunction and is thus a perfect interview for this specific moment in time. But let's the three of us talk about it, too. Tyler, for the first time ever, you were contacting the Volume staff asking yesterday, hey, you need to tweet this video out because I nailed the fucking shit out of this net situation last week.
Bro, I have never asked the Volume to socialize in my shit. Ever. To post any of my shit ever. But I was like,
I was like, bro,
please give me this moment to run this victory. Because motherfuckers was on my head after Kyrie opted in, bro. And, I took it in stride. The game is the game. You talk your shit. You got to be able to take it when it comes back on you. But, yeah, I needed that victory lap. And that shit doing numbers. I think it's at like 70,000 views when I checked this morning.
I think it's more. I think it's like 80 right now. Something
like that. So, yeah. I love this. I feel like this is the only quote-unquote talking head show where you can discuss a somewhat controversial situation and take for 3 minutes, and most of the responses, I literally saw someone respond with, fair take.
Right. I mean, it was, bro, like, it made so much sense. I had my homie sent me, like, Tyler's so good at this, it's maddening. I'm like, this is his actual job, G. Like, you know what I mean? Yeah. And he's really good at that shit. You feel what I'm saying? Yeah.
Like I told you, I view the shit from the scope of an HR disaster, and that's what I fucking do for a living, basically. So, yeah.
Right. That wasn't just a take, nigga.
Yeah, it's real life, motherfucker.
Niggas need to pay you for that information. Run him his money.
Employee relations. It's real life over here, dog.
Right.
That's my life.
That's my fucking life.
Way to live, though. And you looking out for motherfuckers, so kudos to you.
Appreciate you, bro.
Tyler banging the HR set, bro, on the fucking podcast. Yeah. I love it. All right, here's my question. It does seem, we're recording this Friday morning, it seems increasingly likely that Kyrie Irving is going to force his way to the Lakers. I want to know from you guys, I've pressed on Kyrie and what I think, you know. Hi, baby.
Sumi time.
Baby Somi's on the podcast. Get it.
I know she's about to freestyle.
She ain't ready for the pressure. She ain't quite built for the lights yet.
Somi.
Somi. Get you right, baby.
Hi, Somi.
She can't hear none of y'all say it. She was smiling at me. I had to grab her. It was
of course you had to.
A little two teeth. I was like, bro, I can't. I'm a dad first.
I want you off the show.
Podcaster second.
I want you off the show. Have Rod the whole baby Somi in front of the microphone for the rest of the show. Get out of here.
She ain't getting it. She got her. Rather has she has her nightclub or sleeping clothes on. She ain't doing that, man. She has too much. She's too classy. She will never let anybody see her like that. Bad decorum.
All right. My question on basketball is I've been more vocal with you guys than I have been in public because I don't like being a basketball media person who's like, this guy's bad for COVID messaging and all this. But as you guys know, I was like really personally bothered by a lot of the shit Kyrie did, in particular like on the Indian reservation, everything. I thought was really, to me, when you're being disrespectful and you're fucking with poor people, it's difficult for me to take you seriously as a human being or whatever. As soon as I heard he might go to the Lakers, like obviously my brain just completely dissipated and was like, yeah.
You started noticing the money he gave to the people, that the shit that I was talking about.
Yeah, yeah, like I turned into you like, immediately.
The supplies that he gave, that he, you know what I mean? Yeah.
What is my/our as people who care about the world, but who also feel a need to, like, some of the sports are my escape shit. As a sports writer, I understand some of that, right? Like, I do understand some of that. What's my moral? Am I a bad person if I literally go from I think this person's a bad person to I can't wait to take my son to see this bad person and Bron?
You're just a person.
I mean, you could still be on some fuck Kyrie for that shit he pulled, but you know, let's go Kyrie. You know, on game night, you know, what I mean? you could have some duality there. I believe
middle ground Jones. I appreciate you.
In the conversation, I was saying, yeah, fuck that. That's some bullshit. You know what I mean? But when it comes to that basketball, that round ball,
hezzy,
that's a god holding that thing. You feel me? Let's talk. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, man.
I appreciate it. I appreciate you carving out space for me, guys.
we always got love for you, Guardy.
My basketball dick betrayed my brain. You know what I mean?
Speaking with the little head. We've all been there, Bubba's.
Oh man, yeah, for sure. Well, you said what? We're taking a break. If he goes to the Lakers mid show, you're gonna need a minute to collect yourself.
I'm gonna go right to the bathroom. A little personal time, you feel me?
Oh,
why don't
you
pull
shit
out some shea butter instead of the lotion? You know what I mean? Make it special.
A little ambiance,
you know,
light the candle,
sway, you know,
light
what
the candles.
I got the dimmer in the bathroom too. Might have to hit that thing, you know what I'm saying?
The craziest shit I ever saw on Twitter was someone talk about putting the lotion in a bowl and throwing it in the microwave, bro.
No fucking Twitter is disgusting. Twitter is a cesspool.
I'm gonna tell y'all some shit I probably shouldn't say.
Tell it, say it.
And after this, maybe you can take it off the pod if you think it's. But I was told a banana peel.
Oh, yeah. I've heard that too.
No.
I beat that banana peel up. I didn't take it.
Oh, you tried it? I thought you were just sharing.
I tried it immediately. Just boom. But I tried it.
Did you eat the banana before using the peel? Because that makes this even wilder if you did that.
Yes. I didn't waste the banana.
So you ate a banana the whole time prepping to fuck the peel. Like, this is madness.
I think it changed the way I ate bananas. Because Rather and her brother were making fun of me because I really just pulled a banana out and take the peel off completely and eat it. It may have started that moment. Good. I was like, squeeze the banana, try to keep the peel intact. And then, nope. But I was like, I had to be in like eighth grade or something.
Okay. Anything that happened in middle school is perfectly acceptable.
We were the worst versions of ourselves
for the
in
moment,
middle school.
You know what I mean? I'm like, because yeah. I, you know, there's some movies coming out where people were, you know, embarrassing themselves early. And I wasn't trying to, you know, get taken out in the first quarter. You feel what I'm saying?
Who fucking you? I mean, we've discussed what a horrible time middle school was. But you fucking see a woman at the fucking grocery store, and you'd be fucking 90 steps deep in your head.
I told
within
you
within a second, bro. That was hell. I do not miss being ruled by my fucking hormones.
Like even in high school, like I get a boner out of nowhere, and I'd be like, tap somebody, like, look at this, and make a jump in the fucking classroom. I'd be in Miss Krell's English class, like.
Unbelievable.
Look at this. All right, what are we talking about? Basketball?
Right after lunch. Anyway, sorry, yeah.
Do we have anything else that we didn't cover with Matt on KD or Kyrie? What are you guys? I mean, at this point, obviously, it's looking like Kyrie to the Lakers is more and more likely. I just don't buy that there's a way to make that happen with KD and Kyrie, although Wendy has floated that. And I am a Wendy Hive guy at this point. You know, yeah. I think he's a viable.
Shit.
He's a Green Party alternative to Woj and Shams. You know, I'm going third party for the first time ever in my life on the Wendy Hive. But I do think that that's a bit of a stretch. So if Kyrie is going to be a Laker, knock on wood, what do you think with KD? Is this going to happen with him going to Phoenix? If he does end up in Phoenix, does that flip things? I don't really know that I think that it does, to be honest with you, although that would be a really intriguing team. What do you think about the balance of power as far as where he's going, Tyler?
When I heard that the Nets had no interest in having Ayton, you know, that kind of made me shift my thinking that Miami probably lands him. Because, I mean, it's basically going to be Pat Riley versus fucking Sarver. Like, who do you think's going to win that? Who do you think's going to, you know, fucking, you know, drop their nuts harder to make this shit happen between those two? I'm putting my money on Riley here.
I don't know. The thing with me is, like, they need more than just Booker, right? You know what I'm saying? Like, for that trade. You're not trading Booker for KD straight up.
Booker and CP3 are off the table.
Are they off the table?
That's who KD wants to play with, I'm sure.
I think the Nets said they wouldn't trade with the Phoenix unless Booker's involved in that. Oh. And I get that. How the fuck are you not going to involve Booker in
that
trade?
Well, but we'll see with the trade market, the longer that this drags on, we'll see what the Nets are willing
to
accept
or not. Where it's like, we'll figure something. Yeah. I get I have no idea. I'm not even gonna pretend to make up some shit right now. I have no idea. Because it seems like the Suns, but you're saying that they won't involve Booker, so that's not gonna happen without Booker. I have no idea.
Maybe he should go to the Lakers.
They talked about that. They didn't want to give up what? Like unprotected picks? Is that what was the line? Was it THT again? That was the line they drew in the sand?
THT, who I really like as a basketball player, is rapidly becoming my least favorite player ever because he could have, in the same way that I loved the baby Lakers because they turned into like Mighty Morphin Power Ranger style, they turned into Anthony Davis. THT's refusal to turn into DeMar DeRozan or Kevin Durant is really making me resent him in a way that's not fair to him at all.
They're treating THT like the Heat treated Hero. You know what I mean? But THT right. averaged like 8 points a game, bro. Like, you know?
That's our little buddy.
Right. I don't know what he did, but hey, good for him.
The Lakers clearly had a philosophy yesterday of clearly they watched the games last year where we were just watching guys who looked tired for a whole fucking season around LeBron James. They apparently thought LeBron James was the rule and not the exception of old dudes playing basketball for a living.
Are you kidding me?
So they made a distinctive effort to get younger and more athletic and more energetic. As a fan, I like that because I'm hopeful that at the very least, if we suck, it won't be so boring, which last year was just boring. It was just hard to
watch. Impossible basketball to watch, yeah.
It was. But do you think that they didn't really add any shooting? They're still small at the wing. Do you think that they added enough to get into the playoff, maybe make a little noise? Obviously, Kyrie's the big wild card that's still out there, but do you like what the Lakers did yesterday?
Who'd they pick up?
Lonnie Walker was the mid-level, which I didn't necessarily think was the I didn't necessarily.
Walker is solid. I'm not mad at it. I'm not exuberant about it. But,
yeah, that's the thing. I don't know if that's gonna keep Bron from going out sad again. But who else?
Oh, Damian Jones.
Okay.
Obviously JTA from the Warriors, who is not an impact player, but who's gonna sell a fucking billion jerseys in Los Angeles. The first Mexican player I think that the Lakers will have picked up in quite some time. Oh, they're trying to sign right now as we're recording. They're trying to sign Thomas Bryant, which would give them a a much better much better front court. They signed Troy Brown Jr.
I mean, those are nice little fill out the roster moves. Those aren't moves that make your team exponentially better or anything, but it's solid. It was some solid movement there.
But assuming that the Kyrie deal goes through and you're looking at Kyrie, Bron, AD, are Lonnie Walker, Troy Brown Jr., are those the pieces that you need? Because obviously you'd have a pretty big three at that point if those guys are available and playing.
I wouldn't say I put a lot of confidence in those guys in moments that it really matters. You know what I mean? So I gotta see, man. I mean, also, I'm wondering what y'all think about this. If they were to get for that KD Kyrie trade to exist, they would have had to give up AD. What do y'all think should have been done, or what would y'all have done in that situation?
Yes.
No.
Unequivocally, I would have done that.
No, right? I wouldn't have. I wouldn't have.
Why not?
Because I mean,
you want a chip for him in 2020?
I mean, it's that too, and like I said, it all comes back down to your franchise's image. You can't do AD like that after you just sold the whole fucking house to bring him on. He's supposed to be the guy who's taking you into the post-Bron era. You know, KD's old ass ain't taking you into no post-Bron nothing. You can't move AD. No.
Here's the only reason that
AD
I say yes.
This doesn't stay healthy. So yeah. I don't know if you can really rely on him to do anything with, post-Bron, honestly, if he's not playing. You know, I mean, he hasn't done anything with Bron the last 2 years because he hasn't been able to stay healthy. They're the Lakers, so they don't have to exist the same way the Nets do. The Nets are trying to be somewhere people want to go. In historically, people have wanted to go to LA. You know what I mean? Because you're not just coming to the Lakers; you come to LA as well. They will win. You know what I mean? Like, this guarantees a chip or two. I would imagine. if they would have put if those who would have come. So, I mean, I would do it. I would do it. You know what I'm saying? I say anybody not named LeBron, Raymond, you know, James Sr., hey, you know what I'm saying?
Everything Tyler said is correct. Like, they, you know, and when they brought AD in, the rollout was, here's the future, right? Here's our next guy. And you can't do that. That being said, the injury thing, you know, I think it's overblown a little bit. I think it's interesting that that sticks to AD in a way that it doesn't stick to Kawhi and Kyrie and other guys who are less available than AD. It's just because he's so big and soft looking and he's always falling down that anyone who watches him play basketball gets angry at some point, right? Whereas Kawhi just goes, I'm out for the next 6 months. So you don't see that kind of like physical, you know, what the fuck is this guy on that you see sometimes with AD. But I would say the only reason I would say yes is Kevin Durant. It's the only person I would say yes for. But if you have a chance to put Bron and KD and Kyrie Irving on the court together, I don't give a fuck. We'll figure the image out later.
It'll be fine though. The image will be fine
when you have those three. That
the
is
image
the
when
solution
you are that,
to the image
that
problem.
Team, it's, you know, Showtime,
I mean?
4.0.
You're the fucking Beatles. You know what I mean? You'll be okay. But I mean, the thing with AD, with them getting them rolling out the red carpet, you to be the future. You're supposed to be the guy now. Like,
you got to be the future then.
Team. You know what I mean? Yeah, you have to. You know, you have to be it, and he hasn't been that. We've been saying for the 2020 chip, we were saying for them to win, AD has to be the best dude on the court. And at points, it seemed like that until the finals when Bron was like, "All right, I'll press the gas.
Thanks for getting me here.
Yeah. Now it's my time. It's my turn.
I'll drive the last leg.
Right. I got this. You feel me? We get no time for play anymore. You know what I mean? But like the last few years, he hasn't been available. You know, and then this year when he was available, he did not look anywhere near like the best player on that team. You know what I mean? And he's still trying to figure out what position he wants to play. It's like, you know, it's too much going on. I mean, we know what we're getting out of KD. You feel me? I mean, outside of them playoffs, this last but 99.9% of his career, we knew what we was getting out of KD. So I'll lean on that. You feel me?
Okay, last basketball topic before we get to the interview with Matt. The Supermaxes are supermaxing. It's fucking the Quarter Billy Boys is now a fucking NBA club. Jokic gets the biggest deal ever. It's worth over $300 million.
That feels like racism. Even though he's incredibly fucking good, and he deserves every damn dime. But for Jokic to be the highest paid player in NBA history feels the type of way in my spirit. You know what I mean?
Here's my question off that topic.
The answers are not agreeing.
Here's my question off the topic. Is it racist for Jokic to have the biggest deal in NBA history? That was literally.
Really? No.
It feels that way, bro.
It's all about timing, bro. Like Jokic, yeah, exactly. Jokic is top five. He's top five. It's fucking, you know, whatever order. It's Bron, Giannis, Steph, KD, and Jokic in my book.
And he's the one who signed the Supermax this year, so it's the biggest.
It's all about timing. He will not have that distinction for long. So take some solace in that.
I will take some solace. All right. We'll be back in a second with our interview with Matt Sullivan talking about everything going on with the Nets.
Attention all wrestling aficionados. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. This is Freddie Prinze Jr., and I am beyond thrilled to announce that our wrestling extravaganza is back, and joining me once again is the one and only Jeff Dye.
Get ready as we highlight the most jaw-dropping matches, dissect the fiercest feuds, and uncover the latest twists and turns in the world of pro wrestling.
We're dusting off our legendary side quests and unleashing a barrage of brand new segments that will keep you guys on the edge of your seat, like our talks on Unsanctioned Thursdays.
Freddie, you know we gotta give the people what they want. This season, we have an all-star lineup of special guests who are gonna be gracing our podcast, bringing with them their own unique insights, experiences, and all of that in the world of pro wrestling and beyond.
Whether you're a seasoned wrestling veteran or a fresh-faced newcomer, we promise an experience like no other. So buckle up, wrestling fans. Listen to Wrestling with Freddie as part of the My Cultura podcast network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty: Sports Scandals.
Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
I'm Hannah Storm, and my podcast, NBA DNA with Hannah Storm, digs deep into the history of professional basketball, along with my own as one of the first female sportscasters.
Now let's get you up to speed on what else happened around the NBA today.
We talked to all sorts of people I interacted with, from Dr. J to Charles Barkley, and recap iconic moments.
Yes, he's got it. Here he comes. Ray rock the baby to sleep and slam dunk.
As well as some of the wild stories behind the scenes.
We were like, what? What are we in for? The scoreboard crashes before we even tip a game off.
Today, the NBA is a global sports and entertainment giant. Players are multimillionaires and cultural icons.
Iguodala to Curry, back to Iguodala, up for the layup. Oh, blocked by James! LeBron James!
And these stories are about how we got here, both on and off the court. And what's next? Listen to NBA DNA with Hannah Storm on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This baseball season turned K's into cash and big hits into big wins with FanDuel Sportsbook. Right now, new customers can step up to the plate with a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Just sign up, place your first bet, and FanDuel will give you up to $1,000 back in free bets if you don't win. I'm a huge Dodgers fan. They're hosting the Padres this weekend. Kershaw going on Sunday. That's probably what I would be looking at for sure. But there's so much more to love about betting on FanDuel. They've got great promotions every day. It's a safe and secure app, and you get paid fast. There's no better place to bet America's pastime than on America's number one sportsbook. Download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and sign up using promo code JANJ. That's J-A-N-D-J. To get started with your no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. Disclaimer, must be 21 and over and present in Arizona, Connecticut, Iowa, Illinois, Louisiana, and permitted parishes only, Michigan, New Jersey, New York, Pennsylvania, Tennessee, West Virginia, or Wyoming. First online real money wager only. Refund issued as non-withdrawable free bets that expire 14 days after receipt. Restrictions apply. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling problem, call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit fanduel.com/RG. All right, we're excited to welcome on a recurring guest on Jenkins and Jones, Matt Sullivan, wearing a very agreeable Abort Alito hat that I think all three of us fuck with heavily. Matt is Skullduggery on Twitter. He is the sports guy at Rolling Stone, and he is the expert on all things Brooklyn Nets dysfunction, Kyrie Irving dysfunction. He's Mr. Implosion. Matt, welcome to the
Mr.
show.
Mr. Implosion. I like that. I like that. It's good to be, good to be back, guys. Good to be back.
Good
to have you on, man. So spill the tea, sis. What's some insider information that you might have that we are not privy to? The floor is yours.
Spill the tea, sis.
I mean, I think we all knew that Kyrie was in a fight with management, right? I mean, he is the ultimate believer in the entertainer controlling his or her own destiny, right? He rocks with like Naomi Osaka, all of that kind of do your own thing, fuck the agency. And there was definitely a play by Josai, who's a master negotiator, Alibaba, the Amazon of China, all this, and Sean Marks, who basically sucked up to KD and Kyrie since they got there, since Kyrie handed them Kevin Durant on a silver platter, right? They're going to suck up to Kyrie, let him do what he wants. But I honestly think that the vaccine stuff just pissed off Sai for long enough, had to, you know, lobby for him with the mayor, have him in, have him out. And by the time that Kyrie's contract negotiations came up, they were ready to play hardball. They were ready to take some of the power back. And I think KD, in being one of the ultimate proprietors of player empowerment, drew a hard line himself, right? Y'all don't manage me. Y'all don't tell Kyrie Irving what to do. He is a god of this game. You give him the max money because he is a superstar, Hall of Famer, bar none. And when you start messing with that, you start playing with fire. And honestly, I just thought it was a little bit of smoke, not fire. And this is now a raging, burn the house down NBA dumpster fire to the nth degree. And it's fun, man. It's going to be fun.
He loves the chaos.
I'm going to tell you, I didn't think KD was bluffing for a second when he said that. KD is not a dude who says shit just to hear himself talk, bro. If he says something, he means it. You know what I mean? So as soon as he said, like, you know, get shit right with Kyrie or I'm exploring my options, I thought it was time for the Nets to throw all that hardball shit out the window. It was time to take all their base out their voice after that point, right? Like it was time to go from Kyrie, we're not standing for this anymore, to, hey, man, we talked to Kev, Kyrie, and we're going to get this done. You want to come to the office? Like, I really think that's what they misstepped here. They thought KD was a dude who was, you know, just talking to hear himself talk, and he's not that guy at all, bro. That's why his Twitter's so fire. Whenever he talks, he has something to say. And he meant every word of this shit, as we see.
That's what's up. I just thought his public posturing to it was more like, well, I haven't been talking to the team for weeks because I've been on vacation, which he likes to do. Or I haven't, he hasn't been recruiting players on the side because he doesn't want to fuck with tampering rules. But it was real. He was despondent. And, you know, KD has done this seismic shift thing, obviously, many times. And I think he has no problem with rocking the entire league. And this is going to be the biggest trade in NBA history coming up. I mean, the fact that he's signed for 4 years. And you know what I think is underrated in this guy's is not just KD's obviously like being able to pull that lever of ultimate power, just being an all-timer, but Kyrie and loyalty playing a big role there, in that KD was willing to say, if you're not going to max out Kyrie, you don't respect players, I'm not going to stay with this franchise. But at the same time, Kyrie's trying to get back to LeBron James, right? I mean, we're not talking about that enough, that right. Like, we may be about to see that ultimate reunion. And so Kyrie basically like is bailing on his one buddy, who's maybe like the second best player in the league, all-timer, for LeBron. Right. I mean, just like, we're kind of sleeping on that Kyrie's about to go play with LeBron again. I mean, he's forcing his way to the Lakers. It seems like an inevitability at this point. Nobody else wants him. Westbrook's a nice, you know, got to get asses in seats. Nobody in Brooklyn. So it's like Kyrie was playing behind the scenes and knew that, at the same time that KD's maybe, I don't know, knows that DeAndre Ayton could do a sign and trade or something. They're getting what they want. But Kyrie, I think, is ultimately the catalyst for a lot of this erratic change. Shocker.
They're saying that KD and Kyrie want to play with each other, and there was a chance that they both go to the Lakers.
Like, it sounds like Rob Pelinka won't give up AD, which I think is what that would take for the Nets. Yeah. I would love it if we could get those guys to the fucking Lakers, obviously. But.
Yeah, I mean, you got to be careful with a lot of the smoke screens here, right? Like, I love Brian Windhorst, but, you know, he's got Rich Paul in his ear, and Rich Paul might be trying to orchestrate something where he can get all of his guys together without having to sell out AD. I mean, I'm sure that's LeBron's dream, right? I mean, we talk about
sell him out.
I mean, so what it
sell please. Him out. Please. 24 games last year. Sell them out.
I mean, to what extent is LeBron pulling a lot of strings here, right? I mean, we got to realize that he can send Kyrie into battle to say, we'll get the super team. We'll get you and AD and the band back together. But I think KD to the Lakers is a stretch. I mean, the asset's really there. I'm sure Sean Marks would like to pull off some four-team trade to get, you know, 11 draft picks and become the new Oklahoma City Thunder. But it's a long fall from where I started with this franchise that the Nets are going to be back into super oblivion. I mean, it's going to be the ultimate implosion. I wouldn't be surprised if they got rid of Simmons too. I mean, it'll be interesting to see how much they really care about him, because if they get him off the books, then it opens up, you know, some trade flexibility for the Adebayos of the world, you know, Carl Towns, De'Aaron Fox, Shai Gilgeous-Alexander, guys like that. They're stuck in a tough spot right now. It'll be interesting to see how much KD just says, I don't want to play at this place. I don't want to play at this place. Oh, you like Brandon Ingram? Well, I don't like New Orleans. So, you know, I don't think he has any bones about being that guy. I just saw James Harden do it, right in front of his face.
I mean, like, how much say-so do the players have in these situations? I mean, you know what I mean? I don't want to play here. We don't give a fuck. We're going to get this guy for you from you going there. Good luck. You know, I mean, that's what it would seem like when it comes to business. He doesn't have any stipulations that prevent him from going to certain cities. So how does it work in these situations?
I mean, Kevin Durant has led the way of player empowerment. I think LeBron obviously set the precedent, but that was really a free agency thing. And I think KD has been able to shamelessly, obviously, go to Golden State, shamelessly give up on them. And I just don't think that the superstar, the super duper star, gives a shit about what his contract says or what any GM says. And I think this move by KD, this flex, seems from the Kyrie loyalty aspect to be as much about players declaring their power. Kevin Durant saying, GMs and owners got nothing on me. And this is, they are never going to take the power back. This is like player empowerment, I don't know, 3.0, 4.0. And he's setting a standard.
Yeah.
That, you know, it's not just James Harden whining his way and, you know, widening his waistband way toward Philadelphia. I think KD got pretty sick of him. But it's like, you know, if you're in the mood to disrupt the entire NBA, you can do that. And it doesn't matter about contracts and it doesn't matter about what you're leaving in your trail. I don't think KD feels any loyalty to management anywhere to leave them in a good space.
Yeah. Well, and I think, like, Tyler hit it on the head, and you just hit it on the head with the player empowerment. The thing here with Kyrie and KD is I think everyone understands those guys would sit the entire year. If they don't go, you know, I mean, like, they'll sit the entire year. They don't give up.
I don't know if KD can go an entire year without hooping. He's a pure hooper. He wants to win. I think
But if they don't move him, he's not playing for the – you know what I mean? Like, to your point on the player empowerment, like, he and Braun have understood, and Kyrie as well, we hold the cards because it's our body. Like, we are the – like, we are your whole product. We talked about it in the last pod, but the Nets ticket salespeople are now selling courtside seats to fucking Ben Simmons. Like, that's not what they were selling.
Kardashian somewhere will buy those tickets.
I look at it like this. I think the Nets have to send KD where he wants to go because, I you know, at first they didn't want to fold to Kyrie. Now they're going to have to fold to KD because I think that if you send Kevin fucking Durant to Sacramento or some shit, what does that do for – how are future free agents going to look at you, right? Like, they're going to look at you like, okay, if shit goes south with us, they are not going to honor my wishes at all about where I want to go if I want to split town. So I think that they are back into a corner now. Like I said, they didn't want to fold to Kyrie, but they're going to have to fold to KD.
Yeah, facts. And if they have to settle for Scottie Barnes and Siakam, that's going to have to be like a 3- or 4-way. They're not – Kevin Durant did not flex this muscle to get shipped to fucking Canada.
Right.
And then he wouldn't even buy a house if he went to Sacramento. Like, he would never leave Brooklyn. He wouldn't even show up in the fucking city. So, you know what I mean? Like,
right. But here's my question, and I'm asking as basketball fans, because I think all four of us are people who prefer human beings to billion-dollar corporations. I think all four of us see the benefit of the player empowerment era. And I've been an open cheering for that for basically the entire time this stuff's been going on, even with some of the crazier stuff that's happened, as you mentioned with James Harden. My question is, as basketball fans, everyone's talking about this is going to snap back really hard in the next CBA, that the ownership of the league is just like not seeing this as a tenable situation. I understand tenable. Their point at this tenable. Point. It's not tenable.
Tenable.
But as fans of basketball, for Matt and for John and for Tyler, like, do you like this aspect of free agency? Do you like the, hey, contracts don't mean anything, guys can force whatever they want? Like, are you enjoying it? Or do you see maybe the ownership point that it's like, hey, if you got 4 years on a contract, maybe we could expect you to play one of those years, you know? Where do you come down on it as a fan?
I thoroughly enjoy it. It ain't my motherfucking money. Like we don't, ain't no basketball going on right now. This shit is exciting. This is all we got. I love it. I ain't gonna lie to you.
I mean, the content is crazy over the last 3 weeks. The season's been over for 3 weeks, but we're still talking about this shit. And I don't give a fuck about a corporation. You know what I mean? What type of nigga I look like? You know what I'm saying? Like, dude, I want the players to do what they want to do. Good for them.
Yeah, and as a long-suffering Knicks fan who headed into Nets world, you know, it just was an extension of what I learned at Bleacher Report. This is a players' league, and that's a good thing. This is an Instagram world, and that's a good thing. You can love Steph Curry and Kevin Durant at the same time, and you can love this drama and hate them the next minute. I just think what's interesting is that ownership claims to kind of get that, right? Like Joe Tsai was saying last year that, you know, I'm just reading from my book, they're literally megastars, very, very powerful, so you can't treat your players as employees anymore. They're your partners in the business, which is what I think Kyrie Irving signed up for, right? He's like, okay, here is a jersey we can control. Here is a franchise we can run. And he's consistently said that, right? It's like, he said it when, right, like, we need some pieces, you know, and everybody's worried he's going to, like, throw the Joe Harris's of the world under the bus when he got there. And as recently as him just getting swept after not playing that well, he's like, yep, looking forward to managing the franchise in the offseason with the owner and the longtime GM.
Right.
but I don't think that this owner in particular, who will be maligned by, you know, Nets fans the world over for years, I think that partners in business thing he threw out the window and started treating Kyrie like an employee once Kyrie was acting like a bad one.
Everyone likes the players are our partners when they're reaping. And when they are sowing, it's not so fun.
Yeah. I think it goes back to this. You know, I think lots of people forget that KD and Kyrie were Nets before Josiah was. Like, Josiah came on board and bought the Nets months after they came on board. And I think a lot of owners, damn near all of them, I'd say, they do not get into sports ownership to foster healthy employee relations. They get in there to impress other rich dudes. And Josiah felt like a laughing stock around the other issues, and I felt like he had to, you know, get some, you know, get his reputation back and play hardball with Kyrie, and now it's going to cost them everything, it looks like.
And these GMs, honestly, man, will do anything to save their asses, anything to save their jobs, and if that means one moment you got to be at KD's doorstep, and the next moment you got to be doing exactly what your billionaire boss tells you to do because he's upset with the other guy. They'll do anything to save their asses. And I think now Sean Marks has to reinvent this franchise again. And it's just sad because, like, when Tsai bought this thing for whatever, $3.5 billion, including Barclays Center, you thought, well, he thought that they were going to be the next Warriors, that they were going to be this international franchise that would sweep in. And when Daryl Morey sent that stupid fucking, well, that perfectly fine tweet that screwed over the Rockets as, like, this Chinese empire, I think he thought that they were going to be these ambassadors to the world for years and years and years. And I mean, the Nets were supposed to win like a three-peat, and here we've just had disaster after disaster. And I'm not sure you can blame the state of the world over the last 3 years. I'm not sure you can keep blaming COVID or injuries or what have you. I just think the championship mentality, that elusive accountability and culture in over the last 3 years has had to do with being flexible, and the Nets were not flexible enough.
And those stipulations were gone from, like, the last 2 years that prevented Kyrie from playing. You know what I mean? Like, he could play now. So it's just really weird that they want to press that. And talking to, like, Mike's original question, like, you know, we saw what happened with Blake Griffin, where they signed the man and sent his ass to Detroit right after that. You know what I mean? Like, so, dog, like, KD doing this? Do this, KD. Use your power. You are a God-tier player. Act like a god. You know what I mean?
I believe that. And I don't think he owes anybody anything. You know, when I was reporting my book, I remember talking to just randomly Gordon Hayward was sitting around before a game and he was hurt. And I was asking about player empowerment, which is kind of the theme of my book. And if he'd ever talked to, and then I just told him what the book was about. And I was doing it kind of through the Nets. He's like, oh yeah, when I was a free agent, KD called me up, or I texted with him. And he's just like, you don't owe anybody anything. Do what you want. You know, because he felt bad leaving Salt Lake City. Like, players hate playing in Salt Lake City. Like, hate those racist fans.
Understandably so.
Yeah.
Even the white guys hate playing in Salt Lake City.
Even the Haywards of the world. That's
But I thought that was an interesting philosophy, that KD would spread that gospel around the league, that you don't owe anybody anything. And, you know, he got hated on for going to Golden State. I mean, like, what if somebody does pull off some crazy super team trade to the Lakers or the Suns? Like, yeah, hell yeah, he's ring chasing. He's a winner. That's cool. He's allowed to do that.
What's interesting about the Warriors thing, too, is like how much money KD made going to Silicon Valley. He's a fucking billionaire now, or a future billionaire. You know what I mean? So whatever the hate is, you know what I mean? He's Scrooge McDuck, all right? Yes. He'll be all right. You know what I mean? Blowing coins out his bill. You feel what I'm saying?
Well, that's what would be curious to me. And Matt, you obviously, you know more about his mindset than we do. But if you look at the moves he's so far made that he controlled, obviously he had no say in the Sonics moving to fucking Oklahoma.
But
he chose to go to the Bay and New York. And as a guy who, for as obsessed with basketball as he is a really savvy business guy outside of basketball. And he's chosen previously with his last two moves to go to places there where he can maximize that, where there's a lot of non-basketball business stuff going on. I was kind of surprised to see him talking about Phoenix as sort of the top destination, just because as I get maybe a snobbish Californian, I just don't see Arizona the way that I see San Francisco.
Yeah, but I think KD's enterprise is kind of on autopilot. You know, he's there, he's as involved as he needs to be. He sits in a meeting and signs his name. I think, you know, whatever you think of Rich Kleiman, he's certainly gotten rich off of this situation. And I think KD, above all, above any deal, above any whatever boardroom content, like podcast, which is also kind of propaganda for him, is happy to just go to play with Monty Williams. So he, like, you know, he's played with before, loves hooping, play with Chris Paul, get a ring. I mean, it's that fundamental for this dude. I don't think he really, he's aware of the seismic changes he enacts, but he does it for himself. I think I'm not sure Kevin Durant is going to be out here preaching, you know, we need to take the power back, like Kyrie's having these cryptic Instagram posts with the infinity emoji. Like, Kyrie is literally like a walking version of that new emoji that's a smiley face that like melts into the ground.
Right.
Like,
and, them shrooms be shrooming.
Yeah, I mean, he'll be microdosing his way through the crypto.com arena for at least a year.
Right. As long as that jumper falling, I'm cool with it. You feel me?
That's incredible. All right, Matt, thanks for hopping on with us, man. We greatly appreciate it. You've got a scoop dropping tomorrow, so everyone check out Skullduggery on Twitter. His new piece for Rolling Stone's coming out. I'm assuming you're not allowed to talk about it, but it sounds very exciting, so I'm looking forward to that.
It is not basketball related. I think we could all use a mini break from the incessant soap opera that is our wonderful sport here. Appreciate you guys.
Thanks to Matt for hopping on with us. We love having that guy on. Very excited for that story tomorrow, which I think I'm not allowed to talk about what it is, but it's going to be very cool. So follow Matt on Twitter, Skullduggery. Before we move on to, I do have one nonsense topic, but I have one last sports topic to get to first. Did you guys see that USC and UCLA joined the Big Ten yesterday?
Yeah. That is interesting, to say the least. What are your thoughts on it as a lifelong Californian, Mike?
Well, I think John just said the only word that the whole story of it is the word profitable, right?
Yeah.
And I think this is the direction that college sports are moving in of increasing national. It's the direction everything is moving in of increased nationalization, right? If you're good locally as a media company, as a whatever, you're going to get bought by a national company and they're going to nationalize whatever you're doing. There's not really, like, everything's moving away from regionalization. And I understand it from a media move. The Pac-12 network is ass. You have a USC football team that's trying to become a top five program in the country again. And you have a TV channel that I have a hacked DirecTV box. I have a box that gets every channel that's available.
And you're a real nigga.
And I don't get the Pac-12 network because it's not available, right? Like, you're trying to be a national brand, and your conference is so incompetent that they can't put together a real media deal the way that all these other power conferences have the shit. So from that perspective, I get it. It makes dollars, so it makes sense. From the perspective of, as you guys know about me, like, we don't just cover football and basketball. Like, I cover college softball. I cover college women's basketball. You're telling college softball players they're flying to fucking Maryland for conference games? Like, you know, you're their entire conference is a 4 to 5 hour flight away for every road game that you're going to play in every sport at UCLA, not just football, basketball, but in every sport. You are going to the fucking Midwest for your close games. Like, I don't see how that makes sense as a whole. And the reason that I don't see how it makes sense is because it does not make sense.
Yeah. There are a couple thoughts I had about it. One was college is rooted in like regionalism. That is the appeal of it. Like, you know, the SEC is the biggest fucking football in the country because it's all on that fucking, you know, southern, you know, fucking.
Yeah.
But, you know, perimeter there, college, right? Yeah. Like UNC Duke is the best rivalry in college basketball because they're 15 minutes apart. Ohio State Michigan is the best rivalry in football because they're one state over from each
Auburn,
other.
Auburn, Alabama.
You know, Auburn, you know Alabama. I mean? Yeah. And I just don't, I think the further you move away from that, the less college starts to make sense. And another thing I took from it is for, you know, USC and UCLA, like two programs who have been, you know, scrambling as of late in regards to landing, you know, five-star California kids in terms of basketball. I feel like this is them saying, fuck basketball, we're leaning into football. Because you are not going to sell a LA kid on, hey, you know, come to UCLA. I know you grew up dreaming about playing Iowa, right? Like, that's, what type of fucking pitch is that? That is not, that dog ain't going to hunt. But
the teams in the Pac-12 ain't the same no more. Like, you know what I mean? Like, those rivalries within, they're not the same anymore. So even if you the teams you dreamed of playing are not those teams anymore. You feel me? So, but I get it completely. Mm-hmm. But it's like that conference as a whole is just, it stinks now. You know what I mean?
I think, like, and I don't think they're done. I think you'll probably see, I'd be surprised if Oregon and UW are still in the Pac-12. I'd be surprised if Stanford are. You know, look, you're Arizona, you're Utah, you're Colorado.
ASU.
Sorry.
Yeah, you asked out. We don't want you. Y'all can stay. But I mean, like, they didn't like the, what's it, Big 12, Big 10, whatever. They just signed like the biggest media con, like with billions of dollars. You know what I mean?
Yes. So, and like, it came out yesterday, like 10 minutes. I mean, what was crazy to me was the speed of it. It was reported that they were talking about it, and then the shit was signed like 5 hours later, which is insane to me, you know. But within like a half hour of the deal being signed, it comes out, Apple TV is talking to the Big Ten about, you know, like all of a sudden now Apple TV is like, oh, now it's a national coast-to-coast brand. Let me throw $1 billion at them and syndicate it. Like, that's what it's about. That's what they care about.
From the business side. Like, that's impressive to see them make that move and then to get more bread on this side. But, you know, like Tyler's saying, from like, you know, a sports fan side, bro, come on, man.
I just think that, like, as everyone has access to the same internet, the same streaming programs, etc., like, we're the youngest people who will walk the earth, even when we're 80. We're the youngest people who watched the Bulls because we got the channel the Bulls were on.
Right. We just snuck into that WGN.
Straight up. You know people 3 years younger than us. It's a completely different media experience. And I think that that's what's driving everything in sports. Like, I know none of us follow soccer particularly, but you guys remember that they were going to form that Super League that was going to be like the best teams from the English Premier League, best teams from Germany, mm-hmm. the best teams from Italy. And ultimately, because those countries are a little bit less capitalist than us, the fans of those teams were able to make enough stink about that it killed mm-hmm. the deal, right?
Yeah.
We don't have that in America, obviously. Shit, just what the corporations want to do, the corporations are going to do. But I did think as that was happening, I have a lot of friends who are big soccer fans who are like, this is criminal. You know, like, whatever happened to country and love of all this other stuff. And for me as a dumb casual sports fan, I was like, well, I think soccer is cool, but it's too complicated for me to follow because it's all these fucking leagues and all this other shit. Mm-hmm. You put the best 8 teams in the world in a league, I'd watch that shit. Right. You know, the games are on a predictable time. So I feel like that's what it's about. Best of luck to the fucking lacrosse teams or whoever that are catching 6 a.m. flights to be in places for a 1 p.m. game on the East Coast.
I never really watched. I mean, I didn't watch the Pac-10 after, like, Arizona wasn't running shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, the years when UCLA was good, Arizona was good. Like, I didn't even watch it probably in, like, 10 years, 15 years, whatever. But, like, the Big East, them breaking that up, that hurt me. Because I love – the Big East tourney was my favorite conference tourney in basketball. You know what I mean? It was always fucking fun. And people that are fans of like the Pac Pac-12 like that. You know, I get it, but I mean, it would suck. But like, yeah, I mean, so if it's like the Big East, I can understand like it's sucking. But from a business standpoint, Jesus Christ, that is a lot of money, and a lot more money will be made from that. But
all right, last topic, disgusting topic. I apologize for bringing it up, but Carl Colon at Dens_415 tweeted yesterday, and I've just resent this tweet to the group chat. Stupidly went to a rib food truck and ordered ribs, not knowing they were plant-based. Yeah, never again, bruh. I want you to just look at the ribs and tell me what your first thoughts are.
Those are Snickers, bro. That's a Twix. What the fuck is that, bro? That's a veggie stick. That's a mozzarella stick drowned in fucking barbecue sauce. That is horrible. It is abysmal. And my country ass feels disrespected that you even call that a motherfucking rib. You know what I mean? Shut that motherfucker down. That is false advertisement. That's a lie. This is fucking horrific.
That
okay?
is the most disrespectful shit ever done to ribs I've seen in my life. Because for one, you didn't smoke those motherfuckers. You baked them. You baked a stick of fucking tofu. And he put some goddamn Sweet Baby Ray's on it and called that shit ribs. Get the fuck out of here. Fuck that, man.
Ain't no rib in that rib. Right? Where is the rib? Where is the
bone?
I need an animal bone in that motherfucker. Where's the rib in them weak ass ribs, nigga? That is a fucking tofu stick. That is barbecue tofu, bitch ass nigga. Let's jump this motherfucker. Where is this at? Drop the link. We should protest outside of that shit. They are lying to the people, and we will not stand for it. Okay?
Those aren't ribs. Those
right,
aren't
those
ribs.
Those aren't ribs. Where's the rib? Where's the rib? Prove to me there's a rib in there. Jesus Christ.
Ribs are not supposed to have corners.
No, they are, bro.
Corners sharp as fuck, too. Corners are, this is a 90-degree angle on them motherfuckers,
right.
Dog.
If your rib has a right angle, it's a wrong angle.
Got a curve in that motherfucker. Cornbread look weak as hell, too.
God damn.
Little ass bitty piece of cornbread. Nigga.
Well, if it's vegan, they had to make the cornbread with nothing that you would normally use to bake something. It's got no, you know what I mean? So yeah, it's
no
probably
eggs,
it's
no yellow. That ain't it. You know what I mean? Come on, man. Oh.
I felt like it was especially offensive for him to be served that at the start of 4th of July weekend also. Like, this
right,
is a sacred
a
meat. This is a sacred
company,
meat holiday.
Bro, you ain't got to lie. Serve Pokeballs. You can, you know, keep it real natural over there. Well, ribs, we want all of that bullshit, okay? Fuck you mean.
All right, that's all the time we got. We are taking the weekend off for the holiday weekend. Tyler, are you grilling this weekend?
Oh, you already know, dog. You already
What's the plan?
I'm actually doing some ribs, you know what I'm saying? So, yeah.
Some real ones?
I'm going to show you how. I'm going to show you some real motherfucking ribs. I'm going to do some ribs, and I got some jerk sauce from my Jamaican spot, like fresh from Jamaica. So I'm going to do like some jerk chicken skewers too, you know what I'm saying? I'm going to give that a whirl. So, yeah, man, it's going to be a motherfucking celebration over here.
I love fucking Jamaican jerk chicken. We have a Jamaican spot opening up in Long Beach. It's the first time we've had a real Caribbean spot opening up. Like a husband and wife from Jamaica opening a Jamaican spot up in Long Beach in like a month. I'm going to be there fucking. When we went to Philadelphia for the Penn Relays, which was the blackest shit ever, by the way.
Penn Relays,
most fun
bro.
Trip.
People talk about that shit. That shit
yeah,
is
it's
fire,
a, the Yeah, the most fun sporting event I've ever been
Buckle
to.
Shit for me.
It was track and field, so it was Jamaicans everywhere, and they were just, I mean, the jerk chicken was like, the jerk chicken is in the air. It was fucking, it was everywhere, and the shit is, it was so good, bro. So anything I try and get out here is nothing like what they had out there. They eat that shit for breakfast.
Bro, I, at my last crib before I moved here, you know what I'm saying, there was like a right off of, is it Washington? There was a little Jamaican spot I always went to. And me and my grandmother, every 2 weeks when I was in St. Louis, we went to the palm tree, you know what I mean? You know, she's a big smoker, so smoked for 60 years, you know what I mean? Big high. But I remember like in high school, we would go to like the club. There was this dude that owned it was Jamaican. So we get some jerk chicken right before we walked out, right when we walked out the club. So, you know what I mean? Go party to and dance till we sweat, walk out, grab some jerk chicken, bro. I miss some country-ass times, dog. Good old days, baby. You feel me?
All right. Wishing everybody a good holiday weekend. We'll be back midweek next week, and then on, I think, probably a fairly regular schedule going forward in the summer, unless it doesn't work out that way. We shall see. And we shall see what we shall see.
Kyrie get traded. Wee.
If Kyrie and KD land on the Lakers, I am pulling up to this Zoom chat. I don't give a fuck what time it is. I don't care.
When Bron went to the Lakers, I ran through the street. I was in Mid-City. We got him. And almost got jumped on Twitter. But we good. We fine.
All right, y'all. Bye.
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 It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.